stand up to you, you coward.
Turn it up.
Hello everyone, and welcome to episode 10, sorry I couldn't resist, of Positive in Pro Wrestling. I'm your host, Oliver Newman, author of A Fan's Perspective 2016, what a year to be a fan of WWE, and A Fan's Perspective, One Man's Exploration of British Wrestling, available on paperback and Kindle via Amazon now. And I'm also a proud member here at Broken But Glorious Wrestling Podcast. Well, here it is, ladies and gentlemen. It's been a very tiring wrestling week, a WrestleMania weekend for myself. Still kind of recovering, in all honesty. Lots to talk about today, and I'm going to start it though. I had the pleasure of meeting my, you know, modern day favorite wrestler, Paul London, this past Saturday night at Pro Wrestling Live in Willenhall. And I just wanted to do a flashback, really. I've spoken to Paul on the phone before. I rang into a radio show from the UK. So I just wanted to share that with you guys and girls. And I hope you enjoy listening.
Now, we actually have a caller calling in from the UK.
Yes, we do.
No kidding.
Caller from the UK, you're on the air.
Hi guys, it's Oliver Newman.
Hey, thanks for calling, mate. Where are you calling from? What part of the UK?
I'm calling from Manchester.
Well, I'm a huge fan of Manchester. Manchester United. I'm not sure if that's the way. You know, many people follow that soccer team, but I'm not too big on football myself. But I used to play a long time ago. But I'm a big fan of Manchester.
At least you called it football player, as opposed to soccer.
Yeah, well, I apologize. I remember I said soccer, and I was like, this guy's going to kick me in the nuts if I don't play soccer.
I have to call
all the way from UK, by the way, before you say anything more else. Thank you for calling from all the way from Manchester.
Not a problem, Paul, to be honest. I've been a huge fan of yours for a while, to be honest. I'm trying to get a career interview with you. I emailed you, and I hope we can get it done. But my question to you is, I watched your ROH match with AJ Styles, and I think it's a really incredible match. I was wondering...
The Grudges, I believe.
The Grudges? Yeah, the 30-minute drop, the double pin. I was wondering, where does that rank in your career thus far?
I would say definitely... See, it's a difficult question to ask because, well, not to ask, it's an easy question to ask, I'm sure, but it's a difficult one to process.
Given that was the one time
I had a pro wrestling career, and then I had a WWE career, and I don't really look at the two as mixing. Does that make sense? And so
yeah.
I agree with that. As far as my pro wrestling career, easily in the top five. Easily in the top five. Good. I was very proud of that match. I'm a big, big fan of AJ. And it gave me an opportunity to show a little bit of attitude, show a little bit of the heelish side a little bit. And, you know, I didn't have to be so, hey, look at me, I'm a big he walks the man across the street. Like, so it was a fun opportunity for me to do some different stuff, and the crowd was extremely responsive to it. And I'm just a real fan of that match. I was real happy with it. I'm not happy with anything I do. So in truth, I hated it. But for me, that's saying that I
you hate that match, Paul. That's shocking.
No, it's not that I hated it. I'm a huge critic of myself, and I don't like anything that I've done. To be honest with you, I feel like my best work's ahead of me. But
I hope so.
I hope very dear. Are you going to be there in May?
I'm going to be there in May, yeah. I bought tickets so I could meet and greet you, so I'm looking forward to it.
Oh, awesome. Well, bring a body bag, because I might need it.
I don't want to see you die in London. No.
I'm sorry?
I don't want to see you die in London. Because you said you named the body bag.
I'll tell you how I'm going to die. I'm going to die from a shark attack.
Please don't.
I just feel it. It's not going to happen anywhere in the ring. It's not even going to happen on land. I am going to be swimming out, trying to gather a floating Care Bear doll that some poor damsel in distress let fall over the boat. And I'm going to dive in for that Care Bear doll. Because I'm going to
take
that
to give it a... Sorry, what can you do if you're a promo? What can you show
to say? How many promos did I get in WWE? Do you remember? Can you count them all on three fingers? I think so.
When you complained about losing the cruiserweight title to Nunzio. I remember that one.
Well, it wasn't anything to do with Nunzio. It was the fact that I showed... Well, what is that thing that they lack up there? I'm trying to think. Hold on. Oh, spine. Yeah, I showed some spine, and I went into Mr. McMahon's office, and I said, "Hey, what's up? You don't want me using these moves that no one and the fans are really enjoying. So wait, you want me to not entertain the fans? Oh, so what's up?" And he was like, "No, don't do that." And I was like, "Oh, well, that makes no sense because." This guy go off the top rope. Now you don't want me to go off the top rope? Yes. Well, that makes no sense. I can do this move, and I can do this move, and the people really enjoy it. It's like, wow, it's not about the people. Blah, blah, blah. Like, what? So, very confusing. Very confusing times, but basically, when you're in an environment where you demand to keep your dignity and you demand to maintain your own level of respect, it can become very challenging when no one is that way, very few. And so you show some goal, you show some bravado, some panache, and you get picked out for it, you know? So it's a bit of a paradox.
Too many big words, Paul. Come on. Lay it right here.
Yeah. Let me ask you an honest question. Do you think I'm unentertaining? Do you think I have no charisma? Do you think I can't talk?
I don't think that at all. I saw your promo when you was messing around with AJ and Red. AJ and Red. And you were saying that. Yeah, with the prop, yeah. And you said that I should have that title and things of that nature, and it was just so funny.
Oh, we did the Thundercats Ho?
Yeah.
That was fun. That was fun.
What if you do that in the WWE? It's just,
I thought we covered that, right? Remember? No, just kidding. You know what? Just because what you see on TV happens doesn't mean that it's the reality of what is true. You know. A prisoner can only get out of jail when he's uncuffed.
Do you have any more questions?
Since you were talking about Billy Kidman, can I just have a quick question? What did you think about the No Mercy match? Because I think it was the best one you had in the company.
I liked it, and I mean, there's two things about it I liked. A lot, probably more that I didn't like, but yeah, it was okay. I think I had the opportunity to show how much far superior my shooting star is to more than, you know, most likely a lot of people's, definitely his. To be funny, actually, there's a magazine that came out, not long after that match, and it was it was photos in review or some nonsense, and they showed, pick by pick steps of him doing his shooting star in that match, and then me doing mine, and that was, a good, 6 feet different than height between mine and his, and it was just kind of no wonder this dude always landed on the ropes or on his head or on his opponent's head. It's because he has no ups. He is the definition of white men can't jump. So, it's funny if you find that magazine, if you look at the pictures side by side and you compare them. Mine's equally. You'll be able to see the difference. So that was something that came out of that match. That was positive for me at least. But also I was wrestling that match with a broken nose, so lot of people don't know, but I did have a broken nose during that match. I put off
from the match with Booker T.
Yes, the match with Booker T. Right. Wow, you have a great memory. I put off surgery, and actually, I think I put it off twice. I wrestled that match with a broken nose. I got kicked in the face, squarely in the broken nose, which is a huge no-no for any of you doctors out there. And then that was why we did the old stretcher drill at the end, just because I needed to take a few months off to get healed up and get my nose fixed. Which is why my nose is so beautiful. No, I'm kidding. It's actually pretty ugly.
Definitely.
All right.
Well,
Owen Merton knows.
For calling in.
No worries, guys. Thank you very much for having me.
Thank you for calling in.
Thank you, brother. I'll see you in May.
Unfortunately, the PWO show was cancelled in May 2009, and it would be another 9 years till I had the opportunity to meet Paul London, and I will come back to that a little bit later in the show. Okay, then. So, as you know, the format is 205 Live, NXT, Impact Wrestling, and for this week we've got Pro Wrestling Live and the WrestleMania kickoff. I have wanted to add the Hall of Fame and Impact Wrestling versus Lucha Underground, but unfortunately I haven't been able to watch the latter, so I think I'm going to add it to next week's Positive in Pro Wrestling episode 11. So I hope you don't mind that being a little bit out of date. So yeah, let's get right to it because we're about 12 minutes in. So just going to back to 205 Live. Another really good show this week. I can't talk about it in great detail, and I'm glad that this is a Positive in Pro Wrestling as opposed to a review, because I wouldn't have a chance. So I'll just talk about Buddy Murphy versus Kalisto, which was a really incredible main event. Back and forth, Murphy showing exactly what everyone, you know, knew about him. Kalisto showing he's one of the best cruiserweights in the world. It's a, you know, fantastic match that you need to seek out. And it's, you know, opportunity to be my match of the week. The show actually ended with Mustafa Ali and Cedric Alexander build to the Cruiserweight title match at WrestleMania. It was brilliantly introduced by Drake Maverick, the 205 Live general manager. And the sit-down interview between the two was really good, as was the video package. So, you know, I'm kind of only talking about the best of the best on 205 Live this week. And there was a lot on the show that was worth watching. So, you know, definitely check it out. Moving on to NXT. The things that stuck out to me and that were the positive things were Regal laying down the law after the Undisputed Era interfered in the Authors of Pain versus Pete Dunne and Roderick Strong match, and saying that Adam Cole, baby, never gets old, might have to wrestle twice because of Bobby Fish's injury. So it was great to see him, like I said, laying down the law, because the Undisputed Era thought they were smarter than the, you know, NXT general manager, and that wasn't the case. Really enjoyed the main event between Lars Sullivan and Killian Dane as well. And, you know, two hosses going after each other, two big men who could have a fantastic feud in the, you know, on the brand. And then the introduction of the other men that's going to be in the North American title ladder match. EC3, Velveteen Dream, Adam Cole, and Ricochet, especially with Ricochet kind of like looking around the ring. I thought that was like a really cool ending to the show. And then I was once again had the honor and the privilege of being a part of the Impact teleconference call, this time with Eli Drake. And here it is for you all.
Hi Eli, it's Oliver Newman here from Broken But Glorious Wrestling Podcast. How you doing?
What's up, man? I'm doing all right. Just over here chilling.
Oh, absolutely. I just wanted to know, who's your favorite all-time wrestler?
You know, I don't think I could narrow it down to a favorite. I have a top three. I'll give you my Mount Rushmore, if you will. My top three is easily Hogan, Rock, and Austin. No question about it. Those are my guys.
Great choices. And I just wanted to know, who are your top five dummies in professional wrestling?
Top five what?
Dummies.
Wait a minute. What? Top five what?
He wants to know your top five dummies.
Oh. Dummies, who? Goddamn. Ah, man. Man, I could go down the line right now because I'm in a hell of a mood today, so I could tell you all kinds of guys. let me just say I'm going to go ahead and name it down. We're going to go Austin Aries, yeah. We're going to go Alberto El Patron, yeah. Johnny Impact, right. And I see this new goof running around, Brian Cage. And who else are we looking at? I'm going to say Ross Foreman. How about that?
Just remember, Eli.
Thanks very much.
Eli, it was Josh Matthews who said, yeah, put Eli in the 7 a.m. workout. You didn't have that with me.
These people think I'm a morning person.
And that's a nice segue to my Impact Wrestling thoughts. Once again, there's a lot to talk about on Impact Wrestling. It was a really solid show. Bobby Lashley against Brian Cage 2 was, you know, just as fun. You know, two big guys going after each other and doing moves that they shouldn't be doing for their size. So that was a lot of fun. Sue Young and Ali is a nice storyline that's building up. Rosemary and Taya Valkyrie is there as well. You know, Petey Williams is going to take on Josh Matthews next week, which he talked about on the Impact teleconference call that once again I was happy and lucky to be a part of. The match that stuck out a lot to me though was Moose against Eli Drake. Two of my favorite Impact Wrestling stars meeting in the main event, Case versus Case. In Moose's instance, the World Heavyweight title was in his case, and in Eli Drake's instance, the tag titles were up for grabs. So I was really looking forward to this match, and it was a really good match. And with the OVE interference going after Moose because he's you know, Eddie Edwards' his friend and stuff, and then for Eli Drake to pick up the win, I'm really happy with this, in all honesty. You know, when I said on the, when I've been promoting the teleconference call with Eli Drake, I've said he's my favorite Impact Wrestling, you know, star, and he totally is. You know, one of the best talkers in the business. You know, tremendous wrestling skills, carries himself as a champion, and yeah, with the two cases, hopefully he heads back to the summit once again. Yeah, and I really enjoyed the Austin Aries, Alberto El Patron, you know, video package and interviews and stuff. And I was really pumped to see that match at Redemption on April 22nd. And now because of, you know, El Patron no-showing, I think the Lucha Underground show and subsequent firing from Impact Wrestling is not going to take place, which is a real shame because that could have been a fantastic match. And yeah, just another good Impact Wrestling. They've been on a hell of a roll since Don Callis and Scott D'Amore took over, you know. Yeah, really good. And lots, hopefully I've covered everything that was positive about the shows, because I know, you know, with NXT and 205 Live, I may have brushed over certain elements, and you know, apologies for that. I just didn't want this to go, you know, 30, 40 minutes. So I'm trying to be as concise and as quick as possible. So yeah, moving on to Pro Wrestling Live. Up until the day, once again, a little bit of backstory. Paul London got injured at Southside Wrestling the previous weekend, dislocating his left shoulder, breaking his clavicle, and tearing ligaments in his left shoulder, which is a hell of an injury. So I wasn't sure that he'd be making the trip, in all honesty, and I was talking back and forth with the promoter during the week in order to find out more information. You know, the promoter guaranteed that he would be there. And, you know, I looked at making the journey from mine to the venue. It was like 4 or 5 buses away, which seemed to be outrageous. But thankfully, I managed to narrow it down to 3 buses. And, you know, there was a helpful lady on the bus that, you know, kind of directed us to the venue and stuff. What was really cool about this was that Paul London was watching the matches, you know, from coming out of the backstage area and, you know, incognito kind of thing. He didn't have to do that. I thought that was really cool. You know, fair play to him, watching like the young guys on the card and stuff, and hopefully giving them advice and stuff from a veteran of such great standing would definitely improve somebody's wrestling career. It was, although the announcer was really good, it was very difficult to hear some of the wrestlers' names. So I sincerely apologize if I don't say the correct name or I'm not sure who I'm talking about name-wise. But it was good to see Blondie Barrett of World of Sport fame in the match. And, you know, it was Chris Royals, the Mad Hatter, who I've seen at Pro Wrestling Subjective, and they had a fun opening match, which was very, very, very crowd-pleasing, sorry. You know, there was some other matches. There was a tag team match between 4 of the younger guys, and one of the guys slipped on the ropes, I think, but I'm not sure if it's part of his character because he was a bit clumsy in the match, you know, doing different things like that. Not obviously the wrestling skill kind of thing, just clumsy in his character. So that was quite fun to watch. And Mad Dog Max went up against Andy Hendricks, who had a promo before the match, and, you know, came across as a star straight away. I'd not seen him wrestle before. I know Mad Dog from back in the day with British Wrestling, and I'd written about him in my Exploration of British Wrestling book. So, you know, I knew what he was all about and stuff. And they had a fantastic match. And the crowd response at the end of the match was just off the charts. The Gilbert's Club looked like it was going to blow its roof off, really. Absolutely fantastic. And then, Paul London came to the ring with his arm in a sling. And, he was apologizing to the fans, which was a really nice gesture on his part. Nothing can be done about that. You know, wrestling injuries happen. So, I don't think the fans blamed him at all. And they were really happy that he was a part of the show, in any capacity, myself included. Really good segment with a guy. Once again, I didn't catch his name, but Paul called him the pizza guy. And there was a lot of crowd interaction about like pizza, like Domino's pizza and stuff, cheap plug. And he said, what are you going to do about it? Because obviously Paul's injured, and it hit him with a sweet super kick, knocked him off his feet. And in all honesty, I look at it and I'm like, well, if Paul London comes in and has a match with not much build up, he's going to have a great match because he's Paul London. But I think this segment did more for him and to build to a future match between Paul London and this guy than just a normal match would have done. So I think it was a little bit of a blessing in disguise, really. And then there was a hair versus hair match. And, you know, I'm running on about 4 or 5 hour sleep. So once again, I apologize about names and stuff. But it was, you know, really good fight. You could tell the hatred between the two men. And, you know, once again, the crowd response at the end when the good guy, you know, beat his one-time tag team partner and now his bitter rival, was off the charts, and it was absolutely fantastic way to end the show. And then, yeah, I paid for the meet and greet with Paul London. And, you know, I spoke to one of the guys that was, like, looking after him and stuff. And he said, oh, well, you know, if you're going to have a couple of things signed, you know, it's more money. And I says, oh, no, this isn't to be signed. During the intermission, I'd personalised a copy of my British wrestling book because I wanted to give it to Paul. And, yeah, and I was wearing a Rob Van Dam T-shirt. And he said, oh, I like this guy straight away. He's wearing a Rob Van Dam T-shirt. And I think I kind of put my head up as I was walking towards the table. And he was like, I know you. And, you know, he seemed to recognize me straight away, which was pretty cool. And I said, oh, you know, this is my British wrestling book. And I just want to give it to you as a gift. And he was taken aback. And it was really nice to see. To have that kind of response from somebody that you look up to as a hero in professional wrestling was really cool. And you know, we was chatting and stuff, and I mentioned, you know, speaking to him on the phone, and he remembered that. And I don't think I introduced myself. I think he like looked at the book and saw who it was written by and kind of knew who I was from there. So he, knowing that he remembered me, and the way he mentioned it was really cool. I managed to keep my composure. Hopefully I'm keeping it on this show as well, but I was elated inside, really. Such a cool feeling to have, you know, an interaction with one of your heroes in professional wrestling, and it to, you know, to go so well. And then the professional photographer took a picture. And I just asked really quickly if he could take a picture on my phone, just for me personally. And he was, you know, gracious enough to accept that. I said to press the red button, and because thinking it would take the picture, and it actually started filming. And basically, we've got me and Paul posing for a picture. And it's just recording what we're saying and stuff. So that was a nice little thing. And then we posed for the picture and stuff, and it was really cool because he did the Brian Kendrick Paul London kind of pose with me, and that was really cool. And it just made me think, and obviously I write about professional wrestling, but I think in that moment I kind of wanted to be a professional wrestler just to be Paul London's tag team partner. You know, that would have been really cool. I know that sounds really, but you know, I'm just sharing and stuff. And in the interview, obviously, to start the show, Paul seems so despondent with his WWE run and the way it ended and stuff. And the great thing about it, you know, meeting him 9 years after the event was he was at peace. You know, this is a guy with a really serious injury. But if you see the picture on my social media, he's got the biggest smile on his face. And, you know, he was just at peace with professional wrestling. And that's absolutely great to see, really, because he's given so much to independent wrestling and obviously professional wrestling in general that I didn't want it to take his kind of soul away, you know, if you excuse the expression. Yeah, really, really cool experience meeting Paul London. You know, I thanked him for being there because, you know, he didn't have to be there. He was given the option, yes or no. And I'm so glad he said yes. And so were the fans. He was brilliant with each and every one of them. And yeah, really, really cool guy. They say don't meet your heroes because you'll always be disappointed. They are so wrong. It was a brilliant experience and one that I'll absolutely treasure. So yeah, I'm going to finish off the show talking about the WrestleMania kickoff, because we will be doing a WrestleMania review tonight. But the kickoff always seems to fall by the wayside due to time constraints. So, just my quick thoughts, really. The Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal was, you know, fun Battle Royal, as they always are. Not quite sure about this Bray Wyatt, Woken, Matt Hardy kind of team. It's, you know, it's something new and out there. I've got to give it to, you know, given the feud and stuff between the two men. See where it goes from there. It should be really cool. And then it was the Cruiserweight title match between Mustafa Ali and Cedric Alexander. And they had a really good match. It would have been great. And it's an absolute travesty it wasn't on the main card. You know, you build up the Cruiserweight title. You build up the Cruiserweight title tournament. And then you put it in the kickoff show. But to be fair to the fans in attendance, that place was packed from beginning of the kickoff, to WrestleMania itself. Whereas on previous shows, there's been about, 50%, 75% attendance because people were coming in late. So fair play to the fans. They were there for this match. And Ali and Alexander, you know, really had a great, really good match. Just that little thing to stop it from being great, being on the main show, maybe five more minutes. I'm really surprised at the outcome. All the build-up said Mustafa Ali wins this match. And I talked about Mustafa Ali winning and then Cedric Alexander turning on him after the match. And then them two having the feud, which puts 205 Live on the map. I really thought that would be the ending. But Cedric Alexander picks up the win. And, you know, he's a really good wrestler, obviously. I just thought with a turn, he'd be able to find himself on the microphone and things of that nature. So, surprised. The first surprise of the night, that was for me. The Women's Battle Royal, it was absolutely fantastic to see the NXT ladies, especially Peyton Royce, who is one of my favourites. And you know, the NXT ladies beating down the main roster ladies, and the NXT chants were music to my ears. It was absolutely brilliant. And then, the Sasha and Bayley interaction was really cool. And then Naomi wins it out of nowhere to end the kickoff show. So, that'll wrap it up for this week's not so bite-sized Positive in Pro Wrestling. We've gone over half an hour, which wasn't my intention. We might have to cut this down. The two things I always wrap up the show with: match of the week and segment of the week. So we'll go match of the week. I'm gonna go 205 Live, Buddy Murphy versus Kalisto. That was a tremendous match for all the reasons that I've already stated, really. In terms of segment of the week, I think the setting of the scene for the North American title ladder match was really cool. Introducing the six men and then having Ricochet looking around at each of them individually was a really great way to end NXT. So, yeah. That'll do for this week's Positive in Pro Wrestling. I'm Oliver Newman, author of A Fan's Perspective 2016, What a Year to Be a Fan of WWE, and A Fan's Perspective, One Man's Exploration of British Wrestling, both available on paperback and Kindle via Amazon now. And I'm a proud member here at Broken But Glorious Wrestling Podcast. So yeah, if you would like to interact with me, you can on twitter.com/Brumiol. You can like me on Facebook, facebook.com/fansperspectiveuk. If you'd like to become a real Facebook friend, you can become one on facebook.com/Oliver14Newman. If you'd like to follow me on Instagram, it's instagram.com/Brumiol. And for the podcast, it is twitter.com/BBGWpod. And on Facebook, it is facebook.com/BBGWpod. And as I alluded to earlier, tonight we will have our WrestleMania review with Thomas Brewington and Chris Lappin, my co-host. Well, one of my co-hosts, sorry. As Nick Davey is still living it up in New Orleans. So, yeah. And if you'd like to support the show, you can on buy our merchandise on teespring.com/BrokenButGlorious. We have a number of designs, which I'm sure you'll enjoy, and prices are as low as £8. So, yeah, if you want to support the podcast, you can buy the merchandise. And if you want to support me, you can buy my books either from Amazon or you can buy them through me personally. And if you'd like, I'll be able to personalize a copy for you. Okay, then. Thank you very much, everyone. Bye for now. Bye.